I think as a, again, I want to say, you know, I know there's quite a number of people that's probably visiting or just some sort of just coming through us and not necessarily so much connected with us. You know, you just here today, gone tomorrow type of thing. I did that sound bad. I mean, in good reason, you're a friend and you just go again. I feel like I need to justify it. So what I'm saying is, obviously, it's a message we speak to the people that is part here. And sometimes it's not like an in-house message, but it is something that I think the Lord is specifically doing with us. But in the process, I believe and I trust that we will address something that is universally true for every believer. So yes, we are addressing us, but we are, in some ways, it is essential what we are addressing for every person that sees himself as a believer and a child of God. So what we did as an eldership, I shared a little bit about it in our little family time, is there was a couple of things that we felt like we're not fully walking as a congregation in everything that God has. And it was more like just outside perspective and just what type of strategy, what type of thing we need to adjust for us to do that. And we had a couple of people just helping and looking into us. And then one of the guys that we got in is a guy that some of you might know, is a guy called Rodney, who's I at least consider him as a prophet. And, you know, we just ask him, you know, as us as a team, what must we do? What must we change? And so that we can function better. As he was praying, he said to us this. He said to us, there is not a new strategy. There's not a new plan. The answer of you guys walking fully in what God has for you is that each person do what God has called him for. It is that simple. And the problem is, he would say, the problem is what I feel is that the work or the expectation of the kingdom has fallen onto some, and where others has almost walked away from that which God has for them. But in the season, the important thing for you would be is to not see is to see that each one is starting to do what God has called him for. And so what he then felt with us, and we will speak about that, that there's some people that actually know that God has spoken to them on what they should do and are not doing that. And so I'm trusting for a while, you know, there's a couple of things there. I think there's this, come on guys, let's step into what God has called us for. There's another step, it's like, what did God call me for? How do I do what God has called me for? And I think there's a series of things that we need to look at, but ultimately so that we can walk in everything that God has. And I think I've mentioned it before, but I'll say it again. You know, it was a big moment for the birth of the church in Acts 2 when Jesus said to them, wait for the Holy Spirit. And we it's like, oh, Holy Spirit, we need you. It's not, he's not a food supplement. He's like, you've got your food and you just have a supplement to add to it. I mean, we are doing great and the Holy Spirit will just be like that booster. He's not a booster. He's everything. In fact, without him, there is nothing that we bring to the table, really. But when we were, but genuinely, we can gather people in buildings, we can play nice music, but we can't see the kingdom of God come without him. And so when Jesus was speaking to his people or his disciples, which was a small crowd, you know, it's like a small group of people, 12, but then ultimately probably a size of this. He said to them, wait, for the Holy Spirit will come. He will empower you to do the work. He says then to be witnesses. But the first thing that was promised on the day, you must understand, the church is 1 second old. The church has just been birthed. The Holy Spirit has been poured out. The church is happening. Drum roll, we have to say something. We've just been born. Somebody needs to say something, Peter. Okay, there's a drum roll. And first things is important. We hope he's been led by the Lord. He surely was. And he says, this is how he announced the church. In this last day, in these last days, I will pour out my spirit all flesh. That's his start. That's the start. Opposed to, in the old days, I will anoint Saki. I will anoint Vian. And all the others needs to look how these guys are burning. But no, in these last days, it will be different. I will pour out my spirit on all things. And the church is only functioning not when 95.5% listen to 0.5% speaking. The church is finally coming to its place and to its destiny when, this is the word, all now will function power. And the Spirit, you must understand, you know, was poured out for function. We can operate. Now, you know, I want to speak, I'm going to say something on the body. And I just want to clarify something before we start on the body of Christ. Now, I've heard people would refer to the body of Christ as something slightly different than the church. So you get the church. Sometimes it's like, you get the church. But then you get, we're kind of more dynamic. We're the body, right? It's like, I've even heard people say, I'm not part of the church. What church? I'm not part of the church. I'm part of the body. As if there's a slight difference between the two. There's all a group of people, but the body and the church is not exactly the same. All right? That's a misconception that's come in somewhere. I just quickly want to make sure we understand that before we continue. Ephesians 1, verse 22 says, and he put all things under his feet, and he gave him, which is Christ, God has done this, God has put in him as the head over all things to the church, which is his body. I just want to make sure the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all and all. So maybe we can flip it around, and maybe if we go from the body side, we are a way to get around. So Colossians 1:24, Colossians 2 books on, says, which is, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I'm filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body. That is, so no matter what side you go from this, whether you want to say the church, which is his body, all right, the body, which is his church, these things are exactly the same. There is no such thing that I am part of the body, but I'm not part of the church. They are exact. I feel like I'm stunning some of you a little. It is exactly the same thing. Now, when we speak about the church, we need to understand that throughout Scripture, it gets a little bit different pictures or types to explain it. So one of the things that we would see is, for instance, the bride. I do want to kind of bend a little bit on the bride, because I do think the bride, which will meet Christ, will include the church, but then we will have even larger than all Old Testament, including New Testament, people of God will be included in the bride, will be included in this group that will meet Christ. And when we think of the bride, and when we think of the bridegroom, what do we think of? You're comfortable, John, being thought of as a bride. So I was at Saki and Karine's wedding. I have never in my life seen two people more in love. Right? I didn't know where to look. All throughout. And it was not just like they couldn't leave one another. Still, they can't leave one another. It's the sins that day. They haven't lost, no lose, holding one another. But it was that day. Saki will beam, and then he would look at Kareen, and he would not just go. There was little sounds that came out from him. It was like, It was like he couldn't care that it was any person. He's waited his whole life for this. This is. And so what do you think of a bride and a bridegroom? It is a little bit of the bridegroom looking at his bride. I don't know if Jesus is going to do what Saki did on that day. There was the subtle squeals that came. When he looked at his lady. But what is it? It's this intimate relationship with God. So when we consider ourselves the bride, the emphasis that we give is we are together going to be married in this relationship with God. Church is also a household. So in a household is a family, and a family is made up of. If we are the family of God, what are we as individuals? Sons and daughters, right? That's what makes us sons and daughters. Sons and daughters are weird, you know. We're all equal, actually, in that. How did you become a son? There's no special way for us, anyone, to become a son, you know. I've worked so hard, I became a son. No. I was simply born into this family. There's nothing that anybody can do. As sons and daughters, we are completely equal. Yesterday we were at a Duca Braai. We were the guys were just the boys was just together there, but there was no. We were just, how can I say? It was never at some stage that there was who's the elder, who's the teacher, who's the. We were just all brothers and sisters together. We were all, well, brother. It was brother. And in that sense, we're all equal. You know, some people struggle with that. Some people struggle to be just one of us. They have to be special. You know? They have to, at some stage, have a bit of a red carpet. No. Not amongst us. That's what we learn, that we are all, in that sense, 100% equal. No matter where you're born from, no matter what nationality, no matter how big a bank account you are, no matter how functional you are in the church, we are all 100% equal. Celebrate our equalness. And many people that's been with us have said this about us. You know what I love here? There were times that I was functioning and there were times that I was not functioning. But in value, I was always the same. People loved me and people cared for me no matter what I did. That's son's daughter. Then the church. Also a body. And if a family is made up of sons and daughters, what is a body made up of? Body parts. Now don't get confused. Some people say this. I'm just saying this. Some of the teaching goes out. We are all many cells. No, that's not what the Bible says. Cells are all exactly the same. Now, Paul is not celebrating the fact that we're all exactly the same here. Paul is celebrating the fact that we're all 100% different. This is so funny. In some states, we celebrate that we are 100% the same. And in the other way, we celebrate that we are 100% different. Right? We don't have a church just full of Warren. We don't have a church just full of Rensus, right? So when we celebrate the body, we celebrate the fact that we are all different body parts. Some is an ear, some is a nose. You know that means all of us here have a different function. And so when we consider the church, we will say, Yandra, you are valuable here. You are valuable here, not because you've done anything else, but because you're born in Christ as a son. When we refer to the body, we should be welcome to ask, what is your function? What is your work? What is your operation? Tell me what body part on you. Let's get practical. Has no. Which one just sits there? So I know when I was younger, there was a big debate on the appendix, Linodera. And so this is the assumption that people were going from. Scientists, doctors, trying to figure out. Maybe, I don't know if in the meanwhile they figured out what the thing is there for. But the assumption was 100%, there can't be just a thing hanging there. It must mean something. What is its purpose? That was the ultimate assumption. We cannot accept the fact that there's just a zero-functioning thing. Let's figure out. Now, let's be honest, some body parts we can do without. Doesn't mean it's got no function. We just are able to function lesser, but we are surviving. We're surviving. Less attractive, but we're surviving, right? But at the end, everything in the body needs to be a function. And if you are part of the body, you should function. I mean, I'm not trying to go and say like as a supplement or as an extra curriculum for those that really want. You cannot be part of the body. That's essentially what we are saying. And as much as we're fighting for sons and daughters to grow up in the Lord and to come to maturity, equally, we need to fight that each member function as God has called them, because they're becoming severely short of what Jesus has died for. Want to work now. See, the problem is, for a large part of people, still, when we say the church, they understand it as exactly what we're doing now. A Sunday meet where most of you listen to me. The me. There's many me's there. And such a large part of what it is, listening to me. So that's not the church. It's more like, I would say, a restaurant. And so now, people can go to different restaurants on a Sunday, eat. And I know what people will do. People will walk away here and go like, I don't like that food so much. I think that was too salty. I think that was too light, too weighty. I'm going to try that restaurant. Can we say, and that's the church, I went to church because church is important. Somewhere that's settled in some Christian's mind, church is important. So I need to tick that box. So I went to church on a Sunday. Can you went to the body? Can you go to the body? No, you are the body. And you're only the body if you function as the body. You can't just attend the body. Yeah, I attend the body every Sunday. No. Then you are not part of the body and you're not part of the church. You are doing something completely different. That I know 95% of Christianity is accepted, but that is not what you are called for. I'm sitting here with you guys. We are the body. And woe to you. Woe to you if you're just laying around it. Because there is just none of it that is functioning. Amen? Okay. Let's quickly go and consider a few scriptures. So I want to go to 1 Corinthians 12. Let me just say this, you know. I'm not saying what I'm doing is unimportant, but what you're doing now, that is the epitome sometimes of what people's church experience is listening to. I just cannot break that mindset. That is so far from the truth. It's not even funny. So that is really the restaurant experience versus we are really an army. Now, do we feed, are soldiers, and is the army getting food? Yes. But I mean, if you confuse the army and go like, that's a restaurant, that's a big, big problem. The only reason why you feed the army is that they can fight. And when you think of food, you only think like, how can I feed them that they can fight better? You don't think so much of how well those plates is going to be, how well this is going to be. That's not, it's very, very little what it's all about. And so some way in Jesus' name, we need to break and recalibrate the idea that the church is a restaurant. And what you guys are doing right now is the epitome of a church experience, because it's not. This is not the body. This is just such a fraction of it. Okay. 1 Corinthians 12. Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 4. There are varieties of services, but the same Lord. So we have a variety of gifts, same Spirit. Variety of ministries, same Lord. That's Jesus. Spirit, Jesus. Verse 6. And there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God. It's interesting that Paul chooses in these three first verses to say it's the Spirit, it's the Son, it's the Father that gives us and activates us to do various things. Okay. But it's the same God who empowers them all in everything. Verse 7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So there is each a manifestation, there's each an activity, ministry, each one by God above all, that reigns above all, has given it to us to operate, function. Again, one common good. If we're an army, can I just say, if we're an army, and I was trying to think of a literal army on the earth, and I thought, like, I need to be political correct in what army I choose here, because I could get in trouble so many ways if I said it. I don't want to say the Israeli army. I don't want to say the Iranian army. No. I won't say the Russian army. No. So I'm going to settle with the Ukrainian army. It feels fairly safe, right? So imagine you're part of the Ukrainian army, and there is a common good that you have as an army. There is a variety of functions, definitely, gifts. There's even guys that feeds people, you know, but that is just one part. All kinds of parts of this army that needs to defend what has been given to them. Yes, no, now I'm starting to tread. So they defend, and they need to occupy whatever then is given to them. That's their function. Now, variety of gifts function. Now there's a certain group of people in the army that went and say, like, I don't like this common good. I feel like for a different common good. I'm still the army, but I'm going to fight a different fight, and they're going to fight against Iran, for that matter. So at some stage, the Ukrainian army goes like, listen, guys, you are with us, but you're fighting a different common good. You're fighting the Iranians over there. That is not helpful. You're fighting a different battle. Here's the battle. We've got one common battle. Fight with us. Don't fight over there. And they're like, but we are the body. But we are the army. No. Yes, you might be, but understand, we have one common good. Now, I don't know if you guys know what and here I'm starting to tread softly on what cancer is. So I'm looking at the doctors. But I've heard that basically what cancer is, it is cells that's operating and fighting and working just opposite or against the very mandate of your body. So they're working against the mandate of the body. Now, in the church, you have many that functions, but because they can't celebrate the common good, they want to follow their own good. They are like cancer that really divides the church. Don't be cancerous, please. That's a good. That's a nice request to ask. Don't be cancerous, please. All right. So now verse 14. If any speaks, no, sorry, chapter 12. Sorry, guys, that's all the way to. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. Again, guys, this is a tricky thing. Sometimes we have a one member church, meaning one is operating, right? And I tell you, if your church experience is as big as what we are doing now, who's functioning at the moment? I'm just like very honest here. Who's functioning? I'm speaking, and there's a sound guy here and there, and a cameraman. Thank you very much. But ultimately, there's one member functioning. Paul says the body's not one member. It's not one guy functioning, and everybody's listening. Right? I'll mention something on the next. If the foot say, because I'm not a hand, I not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. Now, I want to say that there's certain body parts in the body that has some sort of excuse not to be part of the body. I'm going to name a few, so just guard your hearts here. But I just want to say that is exactly what he's saying. I'm a missionary. I'm not part of the body. I'm an intercessor. I'm not part of the body. Now, Paul says it doesn't exist. There is no such thing as I am some sort of body part, therefore I'm not part of the body. If you are functioning how God has intended it for, is ultimately that we are together. We need a missionary heart. We need a missionary function so that all of us can reach further, not just a person or a single individual. Now, also, I've now made this an example. I made the example between Warren and Rensu. Have you found churches? Where's Rensu? Have you found churches, for those of you that know Rensu, that's just filled with a bunch of Rensu? There's Rensu. Rensu is one of the cleverest guys in South Africa, professor. He's just an incredible guy, teacher in every regard, wouldn't miss a dot or a dittle, cross the T's, incredible guy. Right? So, but for those of you that know Rensu, have you seen that the Rensu type of church that are more studious, more academic, more black and white, line upon line, you find churches that's built around Rensu types. The Rensu church. They've got names, but I won't say it. I'll just call it Rensu. Then you get churches, that's full of a bunch of Warren. Right? You know those. Right? But so what is so special is we're not going to build around a Warren and just have Warren just a bunch of whatever eyes. And then have Rensu just a bunch of ears. No. Rensu, for those of you know him, is unique in what he brings, and Warren is unique in what he brings. So I quickly, do you have that photo? Before you put on that photo, I want to tell you guys, for those of you that were in the church camp, for those of you that don't, in May, I think we went to a church camp. We had an incredible time at the church camp. So, I think the Friday or the Saturday evening, Michelle, where's Michelle? Oh, yeah. Here's Michelle. Michelle had a dream, right? So she had a dream, and in the dream, she dreamt, I'm sorry, I'm not a detailed person. It's going to be kind of right, okay? So she dreams, and maybe a few things added. So she dreams. We are as a congregation, the church is together worshiping, and then in the dream, like the type of amphitheater as I could understand, in the dream Johannes turns to her and says to her, "If you would look, you would see angels and the heavenlies worshiping with us." That's a nice dream. We had some heavenly, heavenly experience. The next morning, she has her breakfast. She looks up and she sees this guy. Can you guys? Right? Now, I wish I could actually send you guys the picture, but this is what you see. So, guys, I take that photo, and I'm like, wow. I go to Warren, this is what happened. We had this dream. And the next morning, she saw this. And Warren, wakarabasheta. The Lord, you know, it's like, it's so, you know, full of enjoying the Lord. And so I go to Renzi. It's Renzi. You won't believe, you know. Do you see that? And he looks at me, you know, with every effort to be honoring towards me. Still loving. And he says, you do know it's a cloud. I'm like, I'm not so sure about it. It's not a cloud. And it's the dream, and it's the no. Come on, Renzo. It's a cloud. See how much Saki is enjoying it, you know? So, now, do you guys understand the problem, what it would be if we only have Renzo's together? Just, we'll sure there's no mistakes there, I know, right? But can you also see what mistake can be if there's only Warren? And what's the tendency of the church? That Renzo's find Renzo's. Says the same, celebrates the same, and do the same. And pretty soon we'll be very judgmental of Warren. Right? What's the problem with Warren? We'll have an effect like that if we find people like Warren. But can you see the genius of God? Of the variety and the difference. That when Warren and I've seen this, Warren and Renzo is both bringing what God has for them. Both walk in full unity and honor. You know what we also don't want? If Warren, after a while, feels like, I need to be like Renzo. No, we don't. But also would be weird if Renzo says, I need to be like Warren. No, we don't want that as well. Right? But we need Warren to be 100% Warren. We need Renzo to be 100% Renzo. And there's the beauty of God to put them together. You know, I've mentioned that example, but in Acts 13, when it says the prophets and the teachers came together and prayed together, and God's power is on that. The problem in the body today is, teachers are just hanging together with prophets. But if they can function together, it's a sight to behold Renzo and Warren in the same meeting, fighting for the same cause. It is so beautiful. So, okay, I'm continuing. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to this body. That would not make it any less part of the body, right? If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing is? If the whole body would be an eye, woohoo! If the whole body will be an ear, where will be the eyes? We need the eyes and the ears. If the whole body were an ear, where would be? Well, now verse 18. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. This is so cool. Do you know that if you are a body, you are a, if you are part of God, of, in Christ, you're part of the church, you're part of the body, and that you are then a member, and that God finds great pleasure to take different members, throw them together. You got like, a little bit of word, a little bit of Renzo, a little bit of Yandre, a little bit of Lorenzo. He just puts them all together. Now, who chooses that? Guys, help me here. God chooses. God chooses to put us together. Now, again, guys, I felt like, how do we choose a church? I look for a church that is more like prophetic. Well, I look for a church that's more solid. They call a cloud, man. They're not afraid. They call a cloud. And so that's the type of things that happen. But if we can be fully submitted to God as the one that puts the body together, He goes, takes different members, puts them together in order to function properly. Quickly, Ephesians 4, verse 15. So rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, Christ. Again, the head is equal to Christ. We are to grow up in Christ. Now this is the head. From whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint, which is equipped. So, it says, we are joined to Christ, which takes one joint, one member, and joins him to another member. How many of you here is married? Right? You know, it will told, it's been told to you from the scripture that God has joined husband and wife together. How many of you that has married, I know, sucky, you're not allowed to answer, brother, have found sometimes it's difficult. If, oh, God has joined, this should be easy. Ellen, why are you laughing? God joins together in marriage. He puts us together. Now, if your church experience is, I'm coming on a Sunday, I'm listening, it's a restaurant, you're coming in and out, you don't know what it means when God has joined you together. If you have been not, if you have not experienced the absolute struggle in being joined in the body, you don't know what the church is. I can tell you, even the people in this room, there's nobody in this world that I love so much. But I don't know if any group of people have hurt me more. I've in the same extent had this, I can't explain the absolute joy of finding to be joined together. But man, it's not always been easy. What God has joined together, I have been tempted to break. But as with marriage, what God joins together, let no man. Now it says, He joins and He supplies. So wherever God joins, He supplies through that joint. Now, I know there's this understanding that it's me and Jesus, meaning me and Jesus will read my Bible, and we will we'll read my Bible and pray, and we'll grow up. But what Paul is saying in this portion is like, the way that God works and grow us up is He's joining us together, and with that joining, He supplies what you want. It is impossible for you guys, say it now, it's impossible for you to grow up what God has for you unless you are joined and allow that joining to supply the needs that you have. Nobody can come to the fullness of God, can grow without that joining. There is no such special person. And can I say this? It's like one of my, like a little bit of a favorite slogan. You will never understand your calling unless you understand, you will not find your calling until you find your calling. Your calling only makes sense in your joining. It's like I tell you, a foot doesn't make sense on its own until he's joined, and suddenly he makes sense. And so the same thing. You will not find your calling until you find your people. The way that God's is going to join you, and in that joining, supply in order what you need, function as you need. You make sense together. You don't make sense on your own. Cut your foot off. See. All right. Sorry, if we can go back to the 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 12, sorry. Guys, I feel like I'm 90. If all were single members, where would the body be? Yes. As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seems weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it. Let me just say something. Guys, the body is, if you want to give yourself to be part of God's church, part of the body, it is a heart. It is a heart. It is one of the most challenging things that I've ever had in the learn how to be part of the body. Can I say one of the challenging things of it is we are different. But you know what's the problem with us? We compare. And so even amongst us, we will go and say, what is the cool thing to do? What is the thing that gets more honor when you do that? What is the presentable thing? What is the visible thing to do? And subtly it influence us to find exactly what God has called us for. And so many times, because there is some things that looks more attractive, we are trying to be something in order to find that. And so that is a very, very challenging thing. So what Paul is saying is, my nails, I'm not a goal, but say for instance you're a goal. And woman, your nails have a function, but it's not the largest function. If you have to choose between your nails and your heart, I want to encourage you, choose your heart. You can survive without your nails. I know you think it's impossible, but you can. You can't survive without your heart. Now, Paul is saying this. Sometimes we give great honor to our nails. Ladies paint it. They go for make. Great effort, presented beautifully. And when comments are coming, it's like, your nails are looking better. Women will take time to paint their toenails and find every opportunity to somehow not have shoes on so that they just for a moment can find a way to show the toenails. I mean, I'm speaking about tribal type of so, now, the saying is like, oh, you did so much effort with your toenails. Wow, that's so beautiful, you know. We give so much honor to that. And so, on the other hand, it's like hair. Now, some of us will give great honor where we can. Some of us can't honor it anymore. But if you can, you get great honor to your hair. Now, yeah, I tell you, it would be, I don't know if it will be more convenient to have air, but it has some function. It covers my head. Now I need to put on sunscreen all the time. Right? And it I suppose it makes people look brighter. So, but I've got my wife, so it doesn't matter. Yeah. But we bestow great honor on the things that is weak. Now, imagine my heart goes like, the nails get all the honor. The nails get celebrated all the time. I wish I could be more visible. People just can see how I'm beating here behind the scenes, you know, and it's like, can't I just... So Paul says this. It is an interesting thing that Paul makes this relation. Just look at your thing, at your body. The things of your body that gets the most honor and is the most visible is the weakest. Or the less your body can function. The things that is the most essential is the most hidden and gets the less honor. Now, and this is the problem. If this is your church experience, there's some things in here that's very visible. I'm visible. Right? And so somehow the visibility is going after. And Paul says, no. What we need to do in the body is we need to consider those that might be a bit weaker, maybe at the time, maybe just in their function, and we should bestow the more honor on them. The body should celebrate them. Then there's these guys that, in some ways, they're the heartbeat, you know. No one sees them, but they are the heartbeat. But they're strong. They're functional. The church can actually not survive. I'm saying now, church struggle without them. Don't give so much honor. They don't need it. Now, what's sad for me sometimes, I spoke to somebody. There's a church in Stellenbosch. Apparently, you know, there's this one, the man of God, that he gets a red carpet. He gets a red carpet, and the list of names that they give him. Apostle, prophet, doctor, whatever, you know, in finding every possible way to honor him. And everything of the meeting is regards to how to honor that man. He must be a very weak member. He must be a very weak member. Because Paul is saying, no. We bestow honor to the weak. And Paul is saying, we need to fight for this thing. Because if we're going to only celebrate that which is visible, or only if we celebrate some, there is a division. No, the church should be those that find ways to honor the seeming weaker or honor the seeming insignificant so that there's almost an equalness, an equilibrium taking place in the church. Quickly, Romans. Guys, we go for a lot of scripture here today. Sorry, Romans 12. Speed. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Can I just say, you won't believe it. There's some of us here that's introverts, some of us here that is extroverts. Some of us here have this type of attitude. Yeah. Right? You have those type of people amongst us. Yes, you did great today. You know? And then you've got those guys that you don't have to tell him. He will tell you, yes, I've done great today. Right? We've got both of them. I don't know what's going on in their hearts. Just because you go like, nah, doesn't mean you think you're great in your heart. That doesn't mean that. And I will say, Paul would say to us, our natural inclination initially with all of us is we think more of ourselves. We think we're greater than you. We think we can operate more without one another than we can. Paul says, do not think of himself more highly than he ought to, but to think with sober judgment. I want to say the most mature thing, or one of the most mature things, is to think soberly of who they are, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Now, this is what Paul is saying. Each one of us here have a different measure. The heart have a different measure than the nail. He has a different measure. And that is difficult for people. That is difficult. accept and to work. And therefore, so much the more, we must find ways to honor the nails. Paint it. Paint those toenails. And go like, wow, you look incredible. That is so beautiful what you did. You have covered my big toe. We don't have to tell the heart the whole time, listen, without you, we would not have been able to. We don't have to. We need to be wise in how we operate in the body. Lifting up the valleys, pressing down those mountains a little. Verse 4, for as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, same message. So we, though, many, are one in Christ, individual members, one of another. Having gifts that differ according, same message, to the grace given to us, let us use them, if prophecy, and then he will list the bunch of things. I'll just say one more thing. Paul is then later on going in 1 Corinthians 12. I don't want to read all the scriptures. Please go read 1 Corinthians 12. It's part of what we were speaking about. But Paul then later on says, if one part of the body suffers, remember all of us suffers. If one part of the body is succeeding, all of us are succeeding. We celebrate the different successes of all of us. There are instances where not all the body members will function. And that is when a member is hurt. If a member is hurt, we shouldn't go like, look, the guy is broken his back, but he's on packing out chairs duty. It's like, bro, you need to pack out that chairs no matter what. Do it for Jesus, right? No. There are instances, and there's obviously much deeper measures there, that people are hurt. Now, we take people aside and work in every way that people can get whole. Not that people can become eternal patients, that just eternally are being worked on. That's almost their identity. I'm an eternal patient. No, the only reason when a member is sick, we don't put pressure on him because he will be broken then, and we as the body will. But we do take them apart to heal them, but for the only purpose, so that they can function, so that they can get it. Some of us here, I would understand that you can't function right. And there are certain things that cause you hurt. Now, if you are hurt in some ways, I want to beg you even, don't function. Because you're going to hurt yourself more and ultimately the body more. But I also want to ask, if you are hurt, don't let the aim be to be an eternal patient. We need you to get fixed. We need you. We need you to get into place. We are only as strong